Hello, everyone. This is Christoph Kemp of Link Research Tools, creator of Link Detox, and this is my link building and SEO podcast. And I have a wonderful guest here that you may know from her appearances all over the web. She creates trends on Facebook, on social, runs a virtual conference. Her name is Alexandra Tachalova. I hope I pronounced that right.
Yeah, that's right. No worries.
Alex, who are you? What's your background for those listeners that haven't heard of you before?
So first of all, thank you very much for having me today. Really appreciate this, and I'm delighted to be here. And so basically, I'm a digital marketing consultant, and also I run a digital marketing conference that is called Digital Olympus. So you can guys go and join our conference. It's 100% free. I mostly deal with PR campaigns, and so I have clients from different niches and industries, but basically that's what I'm mostly doing. Mm-hmm.
And when you do these campaigns, what kind of campaigns are that?
So it's more related to content, because I'm really good in content marketing. I have regular columns on most blogs, Search Engine Journal. And I want to have more blogs where I contribute on a regular basis. That's kind of my goals. And I work right now on a new research for BuzzSumo blog. And so that's also related to content marketing. And I really enjoy looking, and it might be like working with data, so crunching some numbers, and also trying to find some connections between data and some actionable insights that you can align to your business. So something like that, and that's what I do for my clients, because this type of content, it helps them promote their brands and also connect with influencers. I help them build relationships with them with the help of this content, because you can easily involve influencers in this type of researches by simply, for instance, running a survey, which will be a good way of doing it, or asking for a call, or just putting quotes from them in your content. So depending on what you do, it's pretty easy if you have a really solid and well-structured research.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that sounds interesting. That's data-driven marketing in its pure form, right?
Yes.
You create the data, you analyze it, you look for patterns.
Yeah, I'm just to be fair, here I am not a developer, so I can't make a really comprehensive and also complex, I would say, kind of, it's not approaches, but it's more about math, because I'm not really good in that. So I can't, for instance, make a very high level forecasting, but at some levels, for instance, when it comes to collecting data, gathering data, I'm really good, because I understand how to automate some processes, where to grab some data, and also because I contribute to various digital marketing blogs, I also have good relationships with different tools that mostly help me to build those data sets. Because without data, without a solid amount of data, it's kind of really, really complex to build something interesting.
I know. This is why we combine all those 25 link data sources to make something very useful for our link audit clients and link building clients of Link Research Tools, which maybe brings me to the next question here. What do you think what weight does search engine optimization, or specifically link building or link audits, play in the whole digital marketing game? That is so many different disciplines to handle. What do you see in the market trending with?
Oh yeah, I see. Well, basically, I think that the role of SEO is still very, very I would say, like, you know, highly prioritized, because I hear like some people, they say it's not really important, but in reality, it's very important, because you can only get from search the stable flow of traffic, which is really important just for a business needs, I would say, for a business, from a business perspective as well. And so if we compare, for instance, search traffic with social media traffic, the huge difference between those two traffic channels, that if you stop at some point posting on social media, not being proactive there, you're not going to get visitors from that source, and that's not what's going to happen with you, the search marketing traffic, because you just know to establish kind of a brand, develop enough links. For sure, you need to publish regularly content, but that's not necessarily means that you need to do it on a daily basis, like posting on social media. Because if you if you stop posting, you are not getting traffic, which is pretty obvious.
Actually, actually, it was in Google like that for some years ago, or many years ago, I have no idea. There was this idea that you need to blog post, that you need to publish a new blog post every day, so you get a freshness boost. Back, let's say, in 2005 or so, Google was really easy to trick, because it gave fresh content a boost, similar to what, you know, what Facebook does now with a timeline. And so there were all kinds of tricks. And if you Google them, I'm sure you find some Moss blog post from 2006 or something else really from that time, 10 years ago, where this freshness factor of freshness query deserves freshness, something that there is even a patent about that. And that all made sense until it was abused to a way that, of course, news sites started increasing the frequency. Like you see it on social now, it's actually similar. But I agree that this is a disbelief a lot here.
Yeah, like, you know, a lot of, and yeah, what I see, a lot of businesses, sometimes they come to me and we talk about content, and they say, okay, we are going to get social traffic from this piece, which is not necessarily, I would say, a really good investment, since you're not going to get a stable flow of traffic. So what I try to do, I try to think of how we can develop not only a piece for a spike of traffic, but so it's going to receive visitors from Google on a daily basis, because it's more important, rather than giving, I don't know, receiving in 1 week, it might be like even 10,000 visitors from social media, and then having nothing, just nothing.
Exactly. And
yeah,
back to
and
zero.
It's well, it from my perspective, it's making more sense to have it like, you know, ranking in Google and receiving traffic on a monthly basis that you can then convert. Because also social media traffic, if we talk about this particular source, it requires more efforts to convert. Because people, they are not like, you know, they browse social media and they might click, but it doesn't mean that they're really interested in your product. They're interested in your content. And people that, let's say, search on Google, they have a higher probability to be converted. So there are different levels of interest, as well as interest in your product.
Yeah, I think usually on Facebook, you're just hanging out and keeping up with all the comments and chatting around, and you're not necessarily in a buying mood anyways. Plus the ads on mobile, that's a different thing. But I think what you said also regarding the frequency and the spike of traffic, if you manage to create a masterpiece of content, an evergreen piece of content, like an amazing, shareable, likable, lovable, linkable piece of content on your website, this will attract, of course, shares and likes and links and comments, and it will be shared, you know, to Facebook and LinkedIn today, and whatever is around in 5 years, that is the next Facebook or the next LinkedIn, it will be shared there as well, and you own it. And the idea of not having this, of not investing in something that you own, is is bizarre from my point of view. It's just basically doing something on the short-term side on any kind of the paid channels where, having their own website is the success of so many businesses for such a long time that I think, I'm surprised that you confirm that there are a lot of people assuming that doing something just on one platform is a long-term strategy. I've seen MySpace die. I've seen GeoCities die. I've seen all these other platforms die. They've not been around, and I'm still here and making money with my website that I registered in 1999, Camper, and Link Research was later. And so, I think you're right to recommend that. And how is that taken up? You know, it's a lot of work. Oh, we need to set up hosting, and we need to pay a website hosting and a WordPress. That's so much work. Do you get complaints like that?
Basically, for sure, but I don't do SEO as it is because I'm mostly on the side of link building. Mm-hmm. And so I built, let's say, links with the help of content. So we produce those interesting and insightful researches mostly. And so they're more likely to be referred to, I would say, because they are, people, they're mostly referring to something that's not only making sense, but also that, confirm their statements, for instance, and if it's statistic, that's really good because it's for instance, when I write content, I really love to refer to something that statistically proves that what I say is actually it's a trend, I would say. So basically, it's more about I would say. Not about SEO as it is, but about for sure, I receive a lot of complaints from my clients and from potential clients as well, because they sometimes don't see a value in delivering it in that way, because it requires more time and more effort. But here are the thing that I found that in order to, let's say, persuade them into doing that, feeling that it's really something that they need, I try to analyze their competitive landscape and point out that the domains that are right now appearing in search engine results, and for sure not only domains but URLs, by the keyword that they are interested in, they all have enough links. So basically, if they wanted to compete with those URLs, so for instance, let's imagine it might be like something, content marketing for e-commerce or something like that. So you just look at what kind of URLs as well as domains they appear there, and you can easily say, okay, if we are going to produce a piece about, content marketing for e-commerce, and not going to think about links, then it's not going to appear in Google. So basically, it's going to be a waste of time and resources. And that's why there is no sense to write general content, Like, I don't know, like 10 tips to do content marketing for e-commerce in the right way in 2017, whatever it is, which sounds quite familiar, especially for digital marketers, because we see all those posts everywhere, and people, it on a regular basis. The problem with all those posts that people don't want to refer and to link to them. So that's why, from, strategical perspective, those posts, they are useless. Well, I mean, like someday, if you have a very authoritative domain, let's say, let's imagine that it will be Content Marketing Institute that has thousands of links. One day, this post might appear in Google, but that's just because the domain has a lot of links. That's not because this post is so good and people were referring to it. That's just because of internal link building. So when they are putting links between their pages, that might affect for sure. But more or less, it's not because you were able to promote this piece effectively. And so if we talk about smaller domains, I think there the main kind of my thought about this, that they can't waste their time and money on producing this shitty content, because they're losing their time and money, and they're wasting it, and no one is going to pay dividends for that, and it's not going to reach any audience. Mm-hmm. Besides, I don't know, a couple of people on Twitter or something like that, which is not equal, I would say, to their money that they're spending on producing this piece.
Mm-hmm. I love that word, dividends. I think this is the single most important word when you compare organic traffic on something, on some content that you build, like putting money in the bank back in the days when you still had dividends or interest on it, versus just spending money on ads. And I love the comparison here. A quick question: how do you get this content that you build in front of people's eyes? What's your seeding or outreach tricks or methods? What do you use, or what tip or takeaway can you share?
Sure. So I really, so what I found, because since I have been doing those strategies for quite a long time, I found a couple of let's say general approaches that really help you speed up all those processes, especially outreach and getting links. So first of all, it's better to prepare an audience before you're going to publish a piece. So here I mean, like, you, for instance, if you're going to send emails, then I recommend to go to Buzzsumer and find similar content to your future print that you've already actually written. And you can also book in Buzzsumer who refers to similar content. And that's a starting point here. And then you can go to tools like, you know, Hunter.io, and some similar tools. You can find similar tools that, well, actually what they do, they help you find emails of websites. Actually not websites, because for websites it's better to use Whois, but I'm here talking about personal emails. So they help you uncover emails of people who work for a particular company, for or just behind a particular website, personal emails here. And so basically after this, you have a starting point, which is a starting list of email that you can outreach. Also, you can do the same in Buzzsumer. You can go and find Twitter users that have ever shared similar content. Well, I would say Twitter is not the same as emails, because it's more for a hype. It can be used in order to just, you know, streamline the social media spike rather than really acquiring links, but sometimes it helps. It helps. So it really depends on a niche or an industry, because there is no best practices in general, because different strategies, they are not, like, you know, can be applied to all industries. That's what I found as well. And what's also I've noted that is pretty good one approach is that you can use closed Facebook groups and LinkedIn groups. But that's what needed to be prepared in advance as well, because you need to apply to those groups and receive a confirmation to be a part of those groups. And also you need to write abstracts, so something useful before you're going to share a link. So you can't just throw away your link and say that's it, because you're going to be banned, basically. That's a spammy approach. So you need to write something really interesting as an extract of text. And that's time consuming, I would say. Now, let's imagine if you want to do like 20 groups, you need to write 20 interesting abstracts in order to make people kind of so people will pay attention to what you're going to share. And basically,
But you need to do that. You need to do that on emails anyways. Or do you automate the email sending and the tweeting?
You mean like automating those processes?
Yeah, when you outreach via email,
yeah, I do, it by
do you
hand.
Do that by hand? Or do you?
Well, I try to not to go. So there is, well, what I found, you don't need to send a lot of emails. You need to send them effectively. And what I recommend as well here, in order to improve the open and response rate of your emails, you can use a combination of social media channels and emails. So what you do before you're going to send any email, you go to LinkedIn and connect with those people on LinkedIn. By this, you can increase the response rate by even 20% on average. And that's very effective. So I in the majority of cases, I don't recommend to send standard emails. So it's like, you know, you can send 20 emails, but be really like, you know, effective in doing that and receive, I don't know, like 10 responses. Or you can send 100 emails and receive also 10 responses, but the quality of those responses. And then the chance that someone will refer to your final piece, it's really let's say it's vary also from the quality of your communication.
Oh, that's some really valuable insight. I mean, this warming up on social makes so much sense because they already saw your name, they saw your face, and you just stick out of the inbox by then, the moment you send them the email. And I think you could take this further and actually comment on their blog if they have one, or even engage on their timeline.
Endure them,
right?
For instance.
If they post something nice and I... Ah,
yeah, which is also for me like strange ones.
Features
some
of
people ask me what
they
I wanted them to endorse, and I have like, what? Sorry, what? Really? This is for me, like, you know, I don't know because I don't use LinkedIn in order to justify whether a particular person really has those scope of skills. Yeah. But by looking
skills.
At what random people were endorsing, because I look mostly at the history of his previous positions and companies, which really makes sense, rather than random endorsement. Because if you like, you know, I think that might be quite funny if, like, you know, take around 10,000 random profiles and
right. Thank you very much, Alex. Is there anything like a last takeaway or a goodbye that you want to say to our audience before we wave goodbye until the end of the interview and say...
Thank you very much for having me, and hope you can find some interesting ideas in different approaches that I've shared with you. Thank you.
Oh, thank you very much, Alex. I think you shared wonderful tips, and some of them are gold and are classics, and some of them are actually really, really new and great to try. So I think there's a lot of value for all the listeners. Thank you very much again for being on the Link Building and SEO podcast of Link Research Tools. And my name is Christoph Kemper. We talk with Alex Tachalova, and thank you very much. Have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.